We're going to be talking today some more from where we left off yesterday. We were talking about the light and about the differences between Israel and the body of Christ as far as when we are caught up. We're caught up. Israel is not told they're caught up. Christ comes down to earth and rules in Israel, reigns in Israel, reigns in the world, actually, from Israel, as promised throughout the Old Testament. It was promised that he would bring the kingdom from heaven, and as the days of heaven upon earth in Deuteronomy 11:21, and it's coming. But before it comes, Christ would return in darkness. It would be spiritual darkness in the world. Because we, as the lights of the world now, Philippians 2:15, we shine as lights in the world, we will have been caught up before then, leaving the world in spiritual darkness for the Lord to return and destroy Israel's enemies in the brightness of his coming. So we ended up, if you remember, I hope you can see the difference, Israel not being delivered until they are delivered out of Jacob's trouble. But the body of Christ not being appointed to wrath and even being delivered from the wrath to come instead of out of it. So we're delivered before the wrath starts. In fact, according to Romans 11:25, our exiting from the world, our being snatched up by the Lord out of, caught up in to meet the Lord in the air and so forever be with the Lord, that triggers Israel's prophecy to begin being fulfilled again. They're not God's people right now. That time clock stopped at the 69th week, and the 70th week is yet to be transpired, yet to happen. So today we want to talk about Israel's prophecy fulfillment resuming. It'll resume in spiritual darkness. When it starts, the Jesus Christ, the light of the world, we know he's already gone back to heaven. But he said in Acts 13:47 that Paul was to be a light unto the Gentiles. And as he preached and people believed and we believed, in Philippians 2:15, as we stated, and in Ephesians 5:8, we are the lights in the world now while we're here. But once we've been caught up, it'll be dark. And there'll be need of those seven Israelite churches that start up over there near Turkey. They're going to be like a candle in the darkness. They have to provide some light in their meetings. Not physical. I'm not saying it'll be the sun will be gone, the sunshine. I'm talking about spiritual darkness. Not any of the passages about Israel say that Christ's return to earth before Jacob's trouble, the 70th week of Daniel, is prophesied. None of the passages about Israel say that Christ returns to earth before the 70th week. It's just not there. And not any of the passages about the body of Christ say that the catching up of the body of Christ occurs after Jacob's trouble, the 70th week. However, some people still perceive the appearance of an ambiguity or confusion there about the time of the catching up of the body of Christ in relation to the beginning of Jacob's trouble or the 70th week of Daniel. Some people make a distinction between the tribulation and the great tribulation. And in doing so, they say that the wrath is only the great tribulation, which would be the second half of Jacob's trouble or the second half of Daniel's 70th week that he prophesied in Daniel 9. However, we're seeing here another biblical, non-contradictory confirmation, and it's indicating that the catching up is not only pre-wrath, but it's also pre-tribulation. It's also pre-70th week, and it's pre-darkness, the catching up of the body of Christ. The catching up is before the darkness. In fact, the catching up causes the darkness, like we said, because the light of the world is withdrawn from the world. It's caught up, snatched up, raptured up. It's taken out of the way, as it says in 2 Thessalonians. And that's the meaning of the word for caught up, as a raptor. The bird called a raptor dives. They say sometimes it speeds at 200 miles an hour. They dive through the sky with sharp eyes. They see their prey, and they grab it up from the ground while in flight, and they snatch it up very quickly. I don't know how else to put it. You can picture it happening, and all of a sudden, its prey is gone. It's up in the air. Well, the situation in the Bible, as Paul leaves us in 2 Timothy, the last writing in the Bible, the last book that was written, Paul, it's pretty much the way things are in the world today. Israel will go through some dramatic prophesied changes just before the return of their Messiah. Those prophesied events cannot occur until Israel's prophetic fulfillment resumes again, starts up again. Israel's prophetic fulfillment cannot resume until the fullness of the Gentiles become into the body of Christ, as on your screen, Romans 11:25. So, contrary-wise, on the other side, we, the body of Christ, do not have any changes in the situation, nor are any changes prophesied or revealed that would happen before the catching up of the body of Christ. And listen to me. At that point, the light of the world will be gone from the world when we are caught up to be with the Lord in the air. It'll be dark then, dark, spiritually dark. The body of Christ, who had lighted the world with the light of Jesus Christ, will be missing from the world. So at this time, just a moment, please. Sorry about that. Take notice as we review the progress in some verses that we're going to bring up here. Hosea 1:9 had showed that that Israel would fall from being God's peculiar treasure above all people. Hosea 1:9 says that you are not my people, and I will not be your God, as a prophecy, something that will happen in the future. And if you look later, we'll look in Matthew 12:31-32. Matthew 12:31-32. Christ identified the sin that Israel would commit, which would not be forgiven, either in that world, you know, when it occurred, when Jesus was speaking to them, or in the world that followed it. Israel's fall from being a peculiar people, a peculiar treasure above all people, is documented in Acts 7. And you can read those last, from verse 51 to 59, clearly shows that that Stephen was filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking to the leaders of Israel, including the high priest of Israel, speaking words from the Holy Ghost while they stoned him. And they rebelled and blasphemed the Holy Ghost. So if we can look in Romans 11:25, it tells us that Israel's prophecy fulfillment had gone on hold, on pause. It had been suspended by the time that the book of Romans, or the epistle to the Romans, was written in Acts 20. And we can read that. It says, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, So apparently there's more than one mystery, and he says, this mystery you're ignorant of, I don't want you to be ignorant of it. I'm going to tell you about it, in other words, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until... So there's a cap on it. There's an end to this blindness. It says they're blind until something happens, until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. And yes, it's at in Acts 20 when that was written, it was in part. But, you know, if you read in the last half chapter of Acts, in Acts 28, I think it's 20 verses 26, 27, and 28, you can see they're full blinding. There's nothing about in part there. By Acts 28, they have been blinded. Their diminishing has completed. In Acts 20, they were only partly diminished, and there was still some that were not blinded. They were blinded in part. But by Acts 28, they were blinded in full. So we can rightly imply some things from inferences in the Scripture. In addition, the Scriptures definitely identify some things. So there are some inferences, and there are some definite things mentioned. Peter definitely identified that Jewish Pentecost feast when Christ Jesus from heaven poured out the Holy Ghost on Israel's apostles in Jerusalem there. Peter identified that as being Israel's last days. It's hard to get around that. In Acts 2, verses 16 through 21, Peter identified it as that which the prophet Joel spoke of in his tribulation prophecy in chapter 2, verses 28 to 32, and we'll look at those now. Joel 2, starting in verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord come. Verse 32, and it shall come to pass. Now, get the context of this. When this is going to happen, it says, it shall come to pass. Talking about all these, the blood and fire and pillar of smoke. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Delivered from what? Well, from what he just gave a description of there. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. And that matches Zechariah 13:1, that a fountain shall be opened up. The Lord shall return. Zechariah 14:4 shall split the Mount of Olives in half and take over, fulfill the promises he made. But let me read that verse again. I stopped in the middle. Verse 32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and the remnant whom the Lord shall call. So let's compare that with what Peter said in that Jewish Pentecost feast there in the temple. In Acts 2, starting in verse 16, he says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass that in the last... I'm messed up there. I added a word. Let's get it right. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So there's a there had been 400 years of silence before the Lord came. before John the Baptist came, literally, but announcing the Lord, and no prophecy. And so here he says, they shall prophesy. So there's a start of prophecy, a type of prophecy. It's not, it turns out not to be the same exactly. There are different characteristics to it. But going on to verse 19, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, again, the context carries through there about the whosoever under that duress, that stress at that time, that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Talking to those to whom it comes. That tribulation comes on Israel. Not to any believers. We'll see that the believers will have been caught up by then. But let's go on. You don't have to accept that yet. We didn't read it yet, so at least not in this part. So the prophesied 70th week had definitely started in Acts 2. But then in Acts 13, in Luke 13, verses 6 to 9, in that fig tree parable, the Lord's, the curse there that was made and the Lord's prayer of forgiveness on the cross, they both converged in the granting of an acceptable year of the Lord. The Lord said in Matthew 12:32, we should look at that. Matthew, I think I got it right here. I can pull that up. Matthew 12:30, and let me put 31 too here. For wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word, here's the part that applies to the cross, whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. And that's what the Lord did on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So the world, not speaking of the world to come now, but it says in that world in which Jesus was there and in the world to come at that time. You know, there was a different, God started handling things different other than by the law when he started working by grace, saving people by grace, offering grace, and it wasn't revealed until Paul, unforgivable in Israel's program on the basis of these verses, he was saved a different way. Saved, God started working in a new way with people, offering grace, and no longer by works, but by grace. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness, the thing we're missing. You got to have your sins forgiven, but you also need righteousness. Not only that, you need to be quickened, and God quickens those that have his righteousness. Ephesians 2:1. So, that brought about both, now I don't know if you're familiar with that fig tree parable, but it's significant here. It prophesies in Jesus' day, it prophesied another year. They'd been preached to for 3 years, and they're to let it go one more year, fertilize it and let it go one more year and see if it brings fruit. It hadn't brought fruit. And if it doesn't bring fruit, then cut it down. Well, when that acceptable year of the Lord came in there, was offered after, let me start over there. They had you know, according to Peter, they had begun that 70th week, but it turned into, it was like it was converted into the acceptable year of the Lord that Jesus Christ said he was going to bring, going to preach in Luke 4:19, I think it is, talking about Isaiah 61 in Luke. Let me bring those up too. I need to get more verses on the screen to make it clear. But Jesus read the part in Isaiah 61. The Spirit, this was early in his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And he did a lot of healing and those things, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And that prophecy goes on talking about the tribulation in Isaiah 61, but he closed the book, gave it to the minister, and sat down. All the eyes were upon him, fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Well, he couldn't read any further and say that the tribulation part had been fulfilled in their ears that day, because it wasn't yet. They had an opportunity to believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, that had been sent to them. And those that did believe became part of that Matthew 16 church, the little flock. Those that didn't believe, the majority of them, went on to crucify the Lord Jesus and to stone Stephen. And that, in so doing, blasphemed the Holy Ghost and cut Israel off. I mean, that was when Israel fell as a nation and were no longer offered the kingdom, the immediate return of the kingdom. The kingdom is still out there in the future. I mean, they are still going to be the kingdom people. And that church that developed, you can still call it the kingdom church. It wasn't a kingdom as such with the king on the throne, but it was the church that had been offered the kingdom, had the kingdom in view as part of their inheritance in the future. So in that sense, it was still a kingdom church. So the point is that 70th week that Peter said started, it actually became that acceptable year of the Lord, that one year from 33 A.D. to 34 A.D., the year after the Lord had gone back to heaven, when Israel had an opportunity to still receive their Messiah. Well, look at, let me just, these verses aren't in there either, so I'll get them, Ron. But if you look at Acts 3, 19, 20, and 21, it explains that too. Repent. This is what Peter preached in the temple on Pentecost. Later on, after he had preached that Acts 2, he says, repent ye therefore and be converted. Now, this is not to Gentiles. Remember, it's in the temple. It's no Gentiles allowed in the temple. This is to Jews. Jews, you repent, therefore, and be converted, that you Israelites' sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the Lord. When do those times of refreshing come from the Lord? And he shall send Jesus Christ unto you, which was before preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until, there's that word until again, the heavens receive him until something, until when? Until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So the point is that he says back in 19, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And, next verse starts with and, he shall send Jesus Christ. So they were still being offered Jesus Christ coming back and ruling on the throne of David over Israel and over the whole world in Acts 3. But when you get to Acts 7, that ends. That's not offered anymore. So Israel concludes that acceptable year of the Lord by falling from being God's people, a peculiar treasure, as he's called, they're called in Exodus 19, when their leadership blasphemed the Holy Ghost by stoning Holy Ghost-filled Stephen at the end of Acts 7. When Israel's leadership and the majority went along with them, when they failed by unbelief to go into the start of the 70th week that Peter announced, they lost the opportunity to go into that thousand-year reign that follows the tribulation, when Christ would be ruling, which it would have followed the tribulation that Peter said had started, and it did start until it was converted into the acceptable year of the Lord. But it's that start of the 70th week of Daniel was aborted and became Israel's rebellion against the prophesied acceptable year of the Lord. From Isaiah 61, the first three verses, and Luke 4, what we read there about the acceptable year of the Lord, and he closed the book there and didn't read the part about the following... why is that skipping my mind? 70th week of Daniel, the tribulation. message. Thank you. So the Bible records another case of a prophecy's fulfillment depending on whether a condition was met. If you look in Matthew 11:14, and we can start with verse 13, where Jesus told the conditions by which John the Baptist is actually Elijah. Elias is the translation of it, which was for to come. And here are the Lord Jesus' words starting in verse 13 about that case, that particular... let's look at the verse. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was to come. He that hath ears, let him hear. So he was had been talking about John the Baptist, and he said, if you will receive it, what the prophets had prophesied about, the kingdom coming, if you would receive the kingdom, John the Baptist would have been Elijah coming. So the coming of Elijah that had been prophesied. So in this case, in Luke 4, in this that I'm going to talk about now, where we had read about the acceptable year of the Lord, Jesus had proclaimed that he was fulfilling what the prophet Isaiah, or translated Isaias, had written in Isaiah 61, it is, in the first two verses, or the first verse and first half of the second verse. And that, well, let me read it again here. In Isaiah 61, verses 1 and the first part of 2, says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So this is talking about Jesus Christ. To preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Verse 2, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And that was the only part to which Christ's next statement applied. He closed the book and gave it to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them, this is in Luke 4:20, the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. In other words, this day he has sent me to do these things, ending with preaching, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So that was part of the Lord's ministry when he came the first time, that acceptable year of the Lord, which was the added year on that fig tree in the fig tree parable. Just a moment, please. So, at that time, Jesus Christ was not yet sent to fulfill the remainder of Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 61 of Isaiah, the first three verses. which would the remainder was the tribulation and the ruling of Christ on in the 1,000-year reign. Jesus ended with the prophecy that came immediately before the following verse. The day of he didn't read this part, in other words, the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. So the nations will gang up against Israel. Israel will mourn, and the Lord will return and put down all those nations. The day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. Apostate Israel was partway into their blinding and partway toward being cast away, which became total blindness in the last half chapter of Acts. That's why they're not here today. That's why we don't go by Israel's gospel of the kingdom to be saved today. We go by the gospel that was revealed to Paul and by which Paul was saved as the first and as a pattern. 1 Timothy 1:16 says so. By believing that Christ died for our sins and rose for our justification. If we entrust our salvation to Christ, to God, on the basis that Christ died for our sins, and he will save us on that basis, God's grace is sufficient. Do you believe it, though? Do you believe it's sufficient to save you? That's our gospel today, not Israel's gospel of a kingdom coming from heaven and them ruling with Christ on earth having a 1,000-year reign and all that on earth. Our reign is in heaven. We go to heaven and rule with Christ in heaven. It's a different situation, different provisions given to different people. So, Romans 11, verse 25, tells us that there will be an end to Israel's alienation from God, which is Israel's condition right now. They are lo am I. They're not God's people. And God said, I will not be your God. That's severe. Nevertheless, in Romans 11, verse 25, it says that there will be an end to Israel's blinding and casting away. Israel will only be blinded until, and that word until is in there, until the fullness of the Gentiles become into the body of Christ that the Holy Spirit is adding believers to today. Until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. When Christ has saved into the body of Christ the last believer in Paul's gospel of Christ crucified for our sins, then Israel's blindness and casting away will end. And their prophecies will resume being fulfilled at that time. But right now, it's all on hold. That's why you haven't gotten into the 70th week. You've come up to and through the 69th week of Daniel's prophecy, but the 70th week of Daniel hasn't started yet because they're on hold there, because they blasphemed the Holy Ghost and they fell, and they haven't gotten to that until yet. If you read through Acts, if you start and you get up to Acts 7, when you see Israel fell by stoning Stephen, and you get to Acts 9, a chapter and a quarter or a chapter and a few verses later, it says Paul, or Saul, I guess it calls him, still, let me get the verse, Acts 9, 1 says, Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter. This was almost simultaneous to it was just after he had stoned Stephen. I don't know of anybody that breathes out threatenings and slaughter in their sleep. And yet it says that Paul was yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter. So it must have been within hours after the stoning that he got these papers to go up to Antioch to Damascus and get the believers, anybody else that believed that Jesus was the risen Messiah, round them up, bring them back, and put them in prison, and probably do the same. Possibly, some of them would be stoned too for making a stand that they believe Jesus was the Christ, which Jesus had told them, if you save your life in this world, you'll lose it in eternity. But if you lose your life, if you give up your life for He said in one place, for me and for the gospel's sake, you will save it. So they knew that they had to go through death. Well, I'm getting a little off the topic here, so let's get back. Let me just get a sip. Hold on. So, when, just a moment. So Israel's prophecy fulfillment, beginning of their prophecies being fulfilled again, is awaiting for the last Gentile to be brought into the body of Christ. Not necessarily Gentile as opposed to Israel, because of all of Israel is in the state where, look at this verse here, they're all in the state of being uncircumcised now. All those believing Jews had died off, along with the church that Christ started in Matthew 16, and circumcision verily profiteth if you keep the law. Excuse me, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. That's like being a Gentile or a heathen. Uncircumcision. And do you know, we all know that nobody can keep the law completely. They had sacrifices because they knew they were going to break the law. And they had to give those sacrifices. So, their prophecy fulfillment is waiting until the fullness of the Gentiles become into the body of Christ. And then we get to verse 26 immediately after that. For I would not, brethren, that you, this is 25 still. I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. A mystery is a secret, which he's telling us. In other words, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That's us. That's the part that's missing in Hosea 1:9, between Hosea 1:9 and Hosea 1:10. At Hosea 1:10, Israel is brought back and becomes God's people again. But in Hosea 1:9, they're cut off. They're not God's people anymore, and God said, I will not be your God. Well, what happened between when they were cut off and when they were brought back? That's where we are today. That was immediately after the fall of Israel. God saved Paul with this new gospel of trusting Christ, that he died for your sins and rose for your justification. And that is the new salvation that's going on during this dispensation of the grace of God until the last believer comes in that is ever going to believe in that grace dispensation. And then we are caught up to be with the Lord, and there's spiritual darkness on the earth. Israel's fulfillment begins taking place again. And it starts with Revelation 1:1. We're gone by the time anything in Revelation that you read in Revelation happens. We're gone. We're already back in. We're already up in heaven, caught up to be with the Lord, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18. So the body of Christ today shines as lights in the world until the last believer become into the body of Christ. When you read the Bible and you get through the four books about the life of Christ on earth, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then you get to the book of Acts. Acts is the history treatment of what went on there during those years immediately following the ascension of Christ, Jesus Christ, after his resurrection. And just as the book of Acts documents the fall, diminishing, and casting away of Israel before this current dispensation of the grace of God begins, in like manner, the book in the book of Revelation, Christ revealed to Israel's apostle John about the conditions and situations as prophecy, Israel's prophecy fulfillment begins again, as their prophecies begin to, well, the 70th week starts to tick then. The clock that's that Daniel prophesied in Daniel 9. And that will be when Israel's prophetic time clock will begin again to tick. It'll be after the dispensation of the grace of God concludes, when the fullness of the Gentiles become into the body of Christ, which has been shining as lights in the world. And at the time of, you know, the filled up body of Christ being caught up to meet the Lord in the air, we who shine as lights in the world will no longer be here lighting the world. The book of Revelation, it begins shortly after the word until in Romans 11, verse 25. Born again, hold on to your questions until after the lesson, please. I'm probably going to answer your question here as I go along through this, and you won't have to ask it. You'll understand if you are... you know, if you're sincerely trying to understand. And if you believe God's word, if you don't believe God's word, there's no reason to be here. That's all we're doing is teaching God's word. We're trying to eliminate any opinions and, you know, disbelief in God's word. We're not here to argue about is God God or did he speak and give us his word or not. He did, and we've got it, and we're teaching it. And if you don't believe it, then there's rooms for atheists. Okay, so you remember what Jesus said would happen when the light of the world leaves the world? We should review that, actually. It's crucial. It explains the departure of the light, which has happened several times in the world's history, and it's going to happen again. He said as long as he was in the world, he was the light of the world. But that the night cometh when no man can work. Look at John 12. We're going to look at John 12, verses 35 and 36. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself. Just a moment, please. So, when that which shines as lights in the world, the body of Christ, is caught up to meet the Lord in the air, that will leave night on the earth. The light has been taken out of the way, as it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The light will have been taken out of the way. The night will be here at that time. When the body of Christ joins the head in the air to forever be with the Lord in our home eternal in the heavens, it'll mean that Israel will no longer be kept blinded, according to Romans 11:25. And it will mean that wicked be revealed, the wicked one, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 6 through 8. And we can look at those. We'll look at verse 8. It'll mean that Israel will see their prophecies begin to be fulfilled again, starting with Jacob's trouble. All these 2,000 years of why isn't the Lord doing anything? Why, you know, why are we the outcast of the world and everything? For Israel, that'll end. Their prophecies will begin to happen again, to be fulfilled again. And it'll start with Jacob's trouble, and they will recognize it. It'll be no repeat of that exception, the acceptable year of the Lord. That won't happen again. Who is the light of the world? Who is the light of the world? Who claimed to be the light of the world? All right, amen. Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world, whether in person or through Israel or later through Paul and his preaching or later through the remaining body of Christ until he, the body of Christ, be taken out of the way. Look, now we'll look at 2 Thessalonians 2:8, it's on the screen. Then shall that wicked be revealed after we're taken out of the way, in other words. the word wicked is spelled with an uppercase W. It's in the text there. You can see it's an uppercase W, a capital W in the scriptures. That means it's a person. It's talking about a person or a specific proper noun. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So that's the coming of Christ, the second coming, after we, the body of Christ, have been taken out of the way and allowed the Antichrist, well, the wicked, it says here, to do what he thinks he can do to overcome God, actually, is what he's trying to do. The brightness being another aspect of the light that we're considering through these studies, the light of the world. So Christ, and we're just about to finish here, Christ's coming as, well, it's as a light in the night, as the day of the Lord in the night. It's called the day of the Lord, but he comes in the night as a thief comes, a thief in the night, it says, breaking up that darkness with his brightness, that brightness of his coming. It's another aspect of the light of the world. So when the Lord does come back to earth, he comes as the Sun of Righteousness, the S-U-N, Sun of Righteousness, brightness. Can you imagine, you know, if the sun was that close and came and touched down on Mount of Olives? Well, when Christ comes, he comes as the Sun, S-U-N, of Righteousness, to cause Israel to tread down the wicked. He will be fighting for Israel then, as in the days of old when he fought. Things are different now. Don't go thinking that things will always be the way they are now. We're being given an opportunity by the grace of God, but that grace is not all there is to God. There's also a wrath side of God, a vengeance side for those that rebel against him. So let's finish with these the first three verses in Malachi 4 that talk about this coming of the Lord. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Verse 2, but unto you that fear my name, you know, it's talking about at that day. We're not at that day yet, so it's talking about those at that day. Unto you that fear my name shall the Sun, S-U-N, of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, and they shall be as ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. So Israel's victory is the Lord working in them. It's the Lord's doing. Just like right now, our victory today in overcoming sin is when we yield to the Lord. Not that we're stronger than sin. One of the most foolish statements I know of is to rebuke Satan, to say, I rebuke you, Satan. I'll smash you in the face. No. How ridiculous and how low of understanding. The Lord is our victory. We need to be in the Lord and walk in the Lord and let him win the victory. Well, that, again, you know, that Romans 6:16, that's our victory, making the Romans 6:16 choice. All right, I'm done for today, and we'll close here and answer any questions. You can remove that red dot now. If you have a sincere question about the lesson, please bring it up now. Either come to the mic or post it in text.